High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Rolene, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. What a week it has been, and we haven't even got to Oprah yet.
We have, you know, I can tell you with the greatest of confidence that some of us are never getting to Oprah.
I must be honest, I will be joining in you.
I actually can't. Look, we need to do a royal report. This is not that time, but wow, what a conversation that can be. Let's talk rather about Antony Blinken. Now, I've been impressed with him so far. Give us a bit of context. How's he doing? What's his comments been about Israel, and how has he got himself into hot water?
First of all, I have to agree with you. I find the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, to be an extremely dignified, very elegant, very rational man. You know, he's taken up the very unenviable task of being Secretary of State for the United States. And at the get-go, you know, when he addressed his Senate hearing before he was sworn in, he spoke about his stepfather, who was a Holocaust survivor, and how that really influenced him and his life and his perspectives growing up, and will influence him moving into, you know, this important role. And from the get-go, he has been extremely supportive of Israel. One of the first phone calls, if not the first phone call he made, was to his counterpart here, Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi, who's also an extremely dignified man, a man filled with integrity. It will be a sad loss to the state of Israel when he steps down as foreign minister. And he has reiterated support for Israel, the unwavering support for our security. He has promised Israel that there will be no negotiations with Iran on any kind of nuclear deals without speaking to allies here first. He has also, and he did this yesterday, taken a very, very firm stand against the ICC. That's the International Criminal Court. Remember, it was announced earlier this week that they will be pushing forward with their investigation. However, and I just want to reiterate that the incoming chief prosecutor can decide that this is actually not worth the while or within the remit of the ICC. We are hoping that that could be his decision. But Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, tweeted out yesterday, "The United States firmly opposes an international criminal court investigation into the Palestinian situation. We will continue to uphold our strong commitment to Israel and its security, including by opposing actions that seek to target Israel unfairly." Well, no sooner had he tweeted this when far left people such as Rashida Tlaib, Max Blumenthal, they had their say, and very, very dangerously, Max Blumenthal accusing him of dual loyalty. That is a very, very, very serious accusation. Not only is he the Secretary of State for the United States of America, but it is one of the grossest anti-Semitic tropes that we have seen used in recent years, that, you know, outspoken supporters of Israel that maybe have Jewish heritage in some way or the other are accused of having this gross form of dual loyalty.
Because what it does is it completely discredits the view. And it says, well, you've only got that view. We don't respect your view because it comes from a place of bias. So therefore it's irrelevant, and we completely annul that. It's a very, very powerful tool. Whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, there's always a way in which those views are silenced. You know, I'm sure you've been accused of, certainly I have, of being paid by the Israeli government if I have a view of something that somebody disagrees with. That's just how it is. It's just how you discredit a person and discredit a view completely.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we also only have to look at the University of Bristol in the United Kingdom to see how Jewish students are being treated by a professor there who the university has yet to sanction, being called agents of the Zionist government. You know, Israel is the only country that is referred to as a project. Our national liberation movement is the only one that is questioned and also referred to as either a project or if you are a Zionist, you must be an agent of the government. Mm. And like you, Howard, I've also been accused of dual loyalty over the years or being a spokesperson for the Israeli government. I've yet to receive my check.
I mean, too.
I know sometimes the postal service is a bit dodgy, but really, where are our checks, Howard? Mama's got a pair of shoes she has to buy.
Right, exactly. So how has there been a response from Blinken? Is he even going to?
I don't think he's going to lower himself to the level of the Max Blumenthal's and the Rashida Tlaib, which is very interesting because, you know, Rashida Tlaib, who's very quick out of the mark to use these accusations of dual loyalty or imply that, you know, sometimes people say to her, well, are you a congresswoman for the United States of America or are you a Palestinian? You know, you can't be both. So it's a double standard by Ms. Tlaib.
And fascinating as well because that comes from their own party. I mean, that's a Democrat. That's I believe what we're going to start to see more of is this rift within the Democratic Party in the U.S.
Well, I agree with you there. You know, we can't forget that Israel enjoys very, very strong bipartisan support from the U.S. government. We are one of America's strongest allies, not just in the region, but in the world. We have a historic relationship, America being the first country to officially recognize the formation of the State of Israel, the incredible support we have had over the years, even the new ambassador to the United Nations following in the footsteps of Nikki Haley, taking a very, very firm and strong stance against any bias and any disproportionate singling out of the State of Israel. But we do have those elements within the Democratic Party who more often than not refer to them as themselves as democratic socialists. And they do get a lot of attention because they do seem to go against the establishment. And we know from working in social media that anyone who goes against any kind of establishment does get a lot of coverage because they seem to be going against the norm.
Yeah, absolutely. But then following that yesterday, Harris and Netanyahu have spoken. What do they talk about?
Yes, so it's a very interesting discussion between Vice President Kamala Harris and the Prime Minister, mostly to do with working together, the relationship and cooperation with regards to dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. They also discussed a little bit about Iran and nukes and the Prime Minister. I mean, of course, Bibi, at any given opportunity, Howard, I mean, even if I think if he was chatting to you or I would say I will not allow Iran to get their hands on any kind of nuke. But a very, very good discussion between the two. Kamala Harris also said that the Biden administration is opposed to the International Criminal Court's decision to investigate Israel for alleged war crimes. And here I must just reiterate, this investigation has been welcomed by Hamas and the Palestinian Authority, which tells us exactly everything, where that's going.
Absolutely. But again, there's certainly, we are seeing all the right amount of support from the Biden administration that I think Israel could possibly hope for.
Well, absolutely. You know, the vice president is reported to have congratulated Netanyahu on the success of our vaccination program in Israel. In fact, yesterday we heard some very strong words coming out of the prime minister. He was on Fox News saying that COVID is behind us. And I was like, what, wait, what? Yeah. And, you know, even though he has been warned by health ministry officials that there are still some variants that we are concerned about, the numbers are certainly starting to speak for themselves. The amount of infections has come down. The amount of people that previously were maybe a bit resistant to the vaccination, going out getting vaccinated. I almost said going out and getting vaccine. Howard, what's wrong with my grammar this morning?
Well, you're in Israel, so that's fine. You're translating directly.
this is true, this is true, and it's before my second cup of coffee, and we know how that goes. Israel continuing to lead the world by a long shot in our vaccination program, and the Prime Minister saying he believes that this is behind us, that we, even though we might still have to wear masks for a while, this is the end of that. So the Vice President speaking to him about how the U.S. and Israel can ramp up their cooperation and, you know, move forward with that. And, of course, on Sunday, Israel will start vaccinating over 120,000 Palestinian legal workers. And reports in the Jerusalem Post yesterday that now that we've got most of our citizens vaccinated, that the priority will now be turning towards the Palestinians.
And also interesting on that subject is that Austria and Denmark announced that there's a joint vaccine development program with Israel. What's happening there?
Well, this is fascinating because the leaders of Austria and Denmark were in the country yesterday. Sebastian Kurz from Austria, he's the chancellor there, and his Danish counterpart, Mette Frederiksen. Thank goodness names, how would I can pronounce? I mean, absolutely, you know how it goes. They arrived in Israel yesterday, and what is very interesting about this is they've broken ranks with the EU. Some have said, you know, they're very frustrated at the pace with which the EU is moving on vaccinations, and have come to Israel to learn from Israel, to look at how we are rolling out our vaccination rollout, and also how we are lifting out of our lockdown. So they came to Modi Inn. They went to the gym, not my gym. I mean, I did not see them yesterday morning when I was there.
Right.
But the Prime Minister demonstrating how the green passport is working and what it will allow anybody who has been vaccinated and has received their green passport to be able to do. So off to the gym, they went in their suits and smart outfits, and they then held a joint press conference where the Austrian and the Danish leaders said that they will be working with us in Israel on vaccine production to prepare for any kind of future crisis.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible how Israel has led the world in this space. Really, really phenomenal. Can we please just talk about this very strange story that bubbles up and then disappears? Well, not the oil spill. The oil spill itself, of course, very serious from an environmental perspective in Israel or off the coast of Israel. But the allegations that Iran was involved in some form of environmental or eco-terrorism. Is this gathering momentum? Is this a credible theory? What is the story here?
Well, this is a very, very interesting story. You know, we've had this horrendous, horrendous ecological disaster on our marine life and on our beaches, and the IDF as well as other organizations have been participating in the cleanup. The government allocated 45 million shekels for this. And I do have to say, very heartwarmingly, you know, we do have a unit within the army called Special in Uniform. These are soldiers who have various kinds of disabilities. They have been participating in this, which I just find extremely, extremely heartwarming. And it has been under embargo for the last week or so, the investigation on this. And it was initially thought that perhaps it was a Greek tanker that spilt its oil. And the environmental minister came out the other day, and she quite sensationally said that it was Iran, and they are responsible for environmental terrorism. Very, very strong words. However, the IDF, the Mossad, and various security institutions in Israel said, no, not so fast. We don't have the evidence, and they haven't been as involved as they should be, you know, if it is a suspected incident of environmental terror. So what basically has happened, it's actually fascinating, is that a company that monitors maritime security, they picked up that because of the sanctions on Iran and shipping, a Libyan vessel and a it could have been a Syrian, they swapped oil. It's not confirmed, you know, which vessel was which, but one was definitely what they call a Libyan pirate ship. They engaged not so far out of our system in the exchange of oil, and something went wrong, and the oil leaked into the sea, and that's why we have this disaster. So while there is an Iranian element, it is not Iranian environmental terror.
So that's interesting. So it was, so have they retracted that? Because accusing somebody of terrorism is a very serious thing, and it discredits you when you claim it the next time if it wasn't the case.
Well, she hasn't necessarily detracted that, but I think given that the security establishment came out in the strongest possible terms and said, no, it's not, and don't be so quick to make those kind of statements. I think that has put that issue to bed.
Very, very interesting. We covered a lot of ground, lots of different subjects. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. A really informative and fascinating dialogue.
#YouDon'tHaveToBeJewish